Ultimate 49ers is back after a long hiatus with my co-pilot, Jim McIntosh. What's going on, Jim?
What's happening, Vin? We have camp opening up here in a few short days.
So pumped.
Man, can't be more excited. A few teams opened up camp today. Jags and Raiders, because they both play in the Hall of Fame game. So Niners, who we're here to talk about on this podcast, open up next week. Pretty excited. A lot of stuff. Some interesting news dropped today that we'll get to later. About the statistical worst downfield passer in the NFL last year. And then, you know, we've got a host of other things to talk about as well.
I agree, man. Yeah, I feel like it was a fast offseason. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, obviously, you dread, like, the way especially it ended last year. You know, you're like, God, we have all year to wait around, all summer before this. But I feel like the offseason, I mean, we had a few headlines, but for the most part, it was, like, pretty uneventful outside of Debo. You know, yeah. They kind of just went with their business, and time kind of flew, and now we're here, right?
I mean, I think that anytime you transition a major position on your team, like quarterback, with a guy who people who like Trey Lance are comparing him to, you know, a Josh Allen, somebody like that, I think there's a lot of anticipation. It's kind of like going somewhere, driving somewhere on like a really long drive, but you've never been there before, but it seems to go really quick because you're just anticipating like, oh, wow, you're checking out all the stuff along the way, and then you're there. And then the drive home seems really long, right?
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like week and a half, 2 weeks, like all of a sudden the Trey Lance talk has just exploded, right? Like, you know, all these, you know, I get it, it's a dead season, but all these, you know, headline grabbers and clickbaiters, you know, wanting to like create some controversy out of nothing. And, you know, again, we'll get to it, but today showed that all of that is just complete BS. Like, it's his team. It is, for better or worse, right? This is the direction they've gone to and what everyone speculated. And we're here, man, a couple days before camp opens. So, well, let's go through a little bit, just kind of recap the offseason here. They obviously made some roster additions, had some losses. Anybody on the roster addition side that you're excited about, that really got your attention?
I mean, obviously, anytime, you know, our DB room last year, especially in the cornerback department, was not great. We had some lacking holes there. So signing Charvarius Ward, I think, you know, he's not like the most incredible corner in the world, right? But fairly cheap contract for 3 years, younger guy. If he can be serviceable, I think they're going to have a good group, right? Loss of Kaywan Williams, who is our main nickel corner. Now, Charvarius Ward isn't going to be asked to do that, but it might free some other players up, like Ambry Thomas, who hand up, I was killing him all year last year, but they threw him in very, very green. He did improve throughout the playoffs, right?
Big
he
time.
Did get better. And he's only going to get better this year as well.
Yeah.
But now maybe they move him around a little bit. They weren't going to move Kaywan out of that nickel spot last year just because he played it so well. But maybe Ambry Thomas can play some nickel. They can find some other guys. They drafted some young corners. I really like Womack, who they got out of Toledo. He's obviously a little bit bigger guy, but look, they play in conference with some bigger wide receivers, a DK Metcalf, right? Who you're going to see twice, DeAndre Hopkins, who you're going to see maybe twice, depending on his suspension. Cooper Kupp, and now Allen Robinson, right, in our division. So, I mean, I think that I would have liked them to see them take a little bit more of a swing at corner, but I think those two guys are guys that I'm particularly pretty excited about.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just overall, he's a good player, you know, and he's just going to lengthen that position's depth a little bit. Like, for the last couple of years, you know, it was like they were banking on Jason Verrett, who is a good player, but he's always hurt, right? And so the minute he went down, you know, and Mosley would have be nicked up or something, it was like we were desperate at that position. I mean, for like a 2-year span, you know, you had Sherman, and then it was like roll the roulette wheel and see, you know, who's going to play this week. I feel like now they've got a good like 4, 5, 6 guys that can play. I'm not as concerned about that position anymore. Like, you know what I mean? They just lengthen the depth a little bit, which is awesome. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I think, you know, like I said, Womack, who they took, is kind of a tweener. He's a bigger guy, you know, 5'10", 190. Like you said, I think it's just adding some depth. And then you'll never know who will kind of develop. We'll see. I think they're hoping that Verrett will be able to come back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope that as well. But, he's come back once already. It's like, is he going to come back again? Like, how whatever can he be?
Yeah, whatever we get from him, I think, is just an absolute bonus. You know, when he's on the field, it's great. But now it's not like desperation mode if he goes down, right? You know, barring with something else happening. But, like, they're in a pretty good spot.
I mean, I think that honestly, Verrett is somebody who I would see maybe not playing a ton of snaps a game, whatever his strengths are. Once he comes back and is healthy, playing some dime packages, stuff like that. He's a good tackler. He always has been. So, you know, late in the game, 2-minute drill, they're going to throw the ball. Need to be able to, you know, catch and tackle. You know, maybe he's not going to make some amazing plays, right? But I think that's going to be definitely an interesting one.
Yeah. And I think for me, as far as just the addition that I kind of jumped out to me, because they didn't make a whole lot of splash moves. You know, Ward was obviously the biggest free agent signing they had. But I'm excited about Ray McLeod. I mean, it has been forever since we've had a real kick and punt returner. You know, he obviously played quite a bit for the Steelers at receiver too, with Juju down last year. So he can fill in the slot there. You know, we'll see how they're going to plan to use him there. But overall, I mean, even if it is just a pure special teams play, we've desperately needed a return man for a long time. And I mean, since maybe Teddy Ginn, right? Like, since have we not had a legit guy back there? So I'm excited. I think that will shore up the special teams. I mean, 2 games last year we blew, you know, for special teams, you know, that Seattle game and others. I mean, it's just so frustrating, right? I'm glad to see him.
I like that too. I like that they got Malik Turner too from Dallas. He can also do so. He can punt. He can return kicks a little bit as well. So
yeah, they bolstered it up quite a bit.
You know, and I think that they would have gone out and made some more moves. Had it not been for kind of the emergence of Juwan Jennings last year.
Yeah.
And his amazing. His maturation, you know, kind of took a little bit, but I think he's that big body that they're really looking for out of the slot and in the red zone. From an addition standpoint, I think Ray McLeod is interesting. He's kind of not the sexiest signing in the world,
but he's another piece, you know, for Kyle, which that's what he wants. And I think it's great. What about any key losses that just has you nervous?
I think the big one, and I've always been big on this guy, is DJ Jones in the middle. He has been fantastic stopping the run. And you know, the Niners have maybe one of the best linebacking cores in the whole NFL. But what he was able to help do on the interior really, really freed those guys up to make a lot of the great plays that you see. Whenever he was working on Nick Bosa's side as well, you know, was able to, you know, run really good stunts with him. It's not like the biggest, like, oh my God, the world's falling loss. But, you know, again, it kind of stems back to, I mean, he didn't get a big contract from the Broncos, 3 years, $30 million, right? Yeah. But it kind of stems back to, like, had they been able to move Jimmy a little earlier,
that money's there, maybe. Yep.
That $10 million a year is certainly there for them if they wanted to. Now, is he going to come back? I don't know. I thought Arden Key played pretty well last year. I mean, he's obviously, you know, not the sexiest of players over the last few years. He was kind of a bust for the Raiders because they took him pretty high. He got a one-year deal with – I think he wanted to try and go get paid.
Totally.
And I don't blame him. And the market just kind of wasn't there for him.
Yeah.
Took a one-year with the Jags, which – okay,
he's gonna play a lot, you know.
He would have played a lot here. So I thought that was a little strange, but obviously, you know, Alex Mack retiring is the big one, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit when we get into some of our training camp preview, but I'm it's got me a little bit, you know, a little bit nervous, both him and Tomlinson, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, stability, especially up the middle on your offensive line, is just so key. And you're now launching a very green young quarterback without the veteran center and left guard. There's a lot of guys that need to step up, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys on the offensive line that need to step up. And you talked about DJ Jones, just kind of hit on that one last time. Like, I think that puts a massive amount of pressure on Javon Kinlaw this year. Like, he has to be the guy they drafted in the top, you know, 15 or 12 or whatever it was. He's got to be a force and be healthy. If he is, you know, the DJ Jones thing will be erased, but definitely a question mark. Moving on draft wise, you know, obviously we're going to focus probably on the first, you know, couple picks. You talked about Sam Womack, the corner from Toledo. Any of these other guys, you know, just jump at me. A few of these guys are obviously going to contribute, but I've got my eye. I want to see what this Danny Gray kid's all about. I think he could be a really good piece to this offense that Kyle's been trying to find since his Atlanta days.
Yeah.
They just have not been able to do it, find the right guy. The dude can absolutely fly. Played, you know, obviously SMU. I would love to see him in this offense and flourish because I think he's a super good complement to everyone else on the roster.
Yeah, a little bit bigger of somebody that is putting up some of the speed stats that you saw from him, right? 6'2", 200.
Yeah.
You don't expect those guys to move quite a bit like that.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Jefferson moves, but, you know, he's 6'2", 6'3", 180.
Yeah, he's a not different pushing player, 200 for sure. pounds.
Definitely, Kyle, you see the trend that Kyle likes. Well, he likes his receivers to be able to run block, right?
Big time.
So, and that's kind of the prerequisite. It's like, hey, like, if you're going to play receiver for me, like, you're going to have to run block. Ayuk, Debo, and Juwan Jennings are all guys that can run block, you know, quite well.
Yeah.
You know, Malik Turner, even, I looked at some of his film. You know, he can run block fairly well. He was in a lot of four wide receiver sets when they were running the ball with Zeke in a single back.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Danny Gray is definitely interesting. I was really excited about the Drake Jackson pick. And it's been encouraging already to hear some of the things that the guys are saying. I mean, Nick Bosa is just, like, blown away by this guy's explosiveness, right? Like,
big time.
I mean, he's gonna be in a situation where the Niners have really good depth on their D line. He's not gonna be asked to learn run fits, to understand how to play the run this year. He's gonna be put in the nickel and dime packages on third and five and longer and gonna be asked to rush the passer,
the quarterback. Yep.
And it's going to be great, right? It's very similar to what we saw Alden Smith do his rookie year with the Niners, right? Now, by all means, I'm not expecting 14 sacks like Alden Smith had his rookie year, but the same thing kind of applies. They just, you saw Alden running in and out a lot. They literally just put him in on third and seven and longer and just, hey, here's what we want you to do. We don't care about anything else. We'll deal with the run fits behind you. You rush the passer.
Dude, totally. Because, like we talked about, I mean, Bosa's going to see a double team. at the very least every play. And if you have Armstead, Kinlaw, and you know these other guys going, it's like you just have to be good. And this guy's going to fall into 7-8 sacks, I think, this year.
100%.
I'm with you, man. He's in a great situation. Fully frank, like when they first took him, I did not love it. But I get it. Like that's what their whole defense is built around, is the defensive line mm-hmm. and pass rush. And they're going to keep staying strong up front. Right. And it makes a lot of sense. And digging into it, you know, with this instability he's had, you know, at USC and the turmoil that program's been in, like this kid hasn't even scratched the surface. So,
They did the thing that a lot of teams wish they could do, which is take a chance on a player that has explosive, you know, all the intangibles, but really hasn't produced at a high level yet. Right now. And I think personally, you can do it both ways with pass rusher in the NFL. You can get the established guys like Nick Bosa, who you know is just going to come in and just dominate yeah. from day one. But I think it's also nice to grab some guys who haven't hit their peaks yet and help them along to that, right? I think there's a lot can be said for that. And there was a lot of people listening to some of the coverage after the draft that had a much higher round grade early yeah. on this guy that they thought he was, you know, a top 12, top 15 pick and ends up falling into the second round. Right.
Yeah. I mean the last thing on this, but like the piece that I love the most about it is you take it, like you said, a guy with high upside that's raw, maybe a little bit, but he's going to be in a defensive line room meetings, position group, practice individual group with Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, like, dude,
who cannot have from?
You can't have two better mentors with, you know, Kaserik as the D-line coach. Like this kid has all the tools set up for him to have an awesome start to his career. So again, I'm with you. The more I read into it and saw the whole big picture, it was like, this was, in my opinion, kind of a home run. So
the other guy that I think that was kind of a sneaky pick who is a swing guy is the guard / tackle that they took at San Antonio, Spencer Buford.
Yeah.
To me, what that screams is insurance for Aaron Banks. Now, everything has come out about Aaron Banks. They've seen a lot of improvement. He's put on weight. They like his explosiveness in OTAs. And look, for as high as we took him last year, he should absolutely just be able to slot into that guard spot and then just not have to worry about it, right? But I think the more guys that we can have depth-wise on the offensive line, because there's going to be injuries, right? Buford can play guard. He can play tackle. He's 6'5". He's a little light maybe at 300. They'll probably want him to put on 5 to 10 pounds. I thought that was – for me, that was kind of my head scratcher pick in the fourth round. But you know, I was screaming the corner, but they ended up getting Womack later. There was kind of a lot of corners floating around in that fourth round. So they got Womack in the fifth round. He dropped all the way there. Right. But I think that, you know, after you kind of take a look at everything, it's nice to have some more stability because, you know, yes, McGlinchey's back. It's a contract year for him.
Yeah.
Who knows how he's going to play? And he's had injury problems, right? Yep. So having a guy that could potentially slot in if McGlinchey gets hurt was nice. So I think overall they had a pretty solid draft. And, you know, after you look at it, some of the guys that, you know, I think a lot of the guys can step in and make the team and be contributors.
Big time. Cool. Well, moving on, obviously heading into training camp, kind of OTAs into training camp.
Yeah. I mean,
really the main storyline, you know, obviously outside the quarterback position is still the fact that Debo doesn't have a contract, right?
Correct.
Do you think they get one done here, or do you think they end up, you know, playing it out and maybe mid-season or something like that, working it out? What do you kind of envision happening here?
Well, I mean, all the reports from all that I've read from credible sources the whole way was that they've been telling him we have to move Jimmy in order to make sure that we can give you the contract that you want. Now, there was some reports earlier this week that they would not move Jimmy until Jimmy wouldn't be ready to be moved till mid-August. And then all of a sudden today, he's cleared for practice. And then Don Yee is now looking around, a.k.a. Yeah. he passed his internal physical with the Niners. Yeah. So they're confident that if a trade happens, he'll pass a physical wherever he goes there.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is they need to move his $24 million cap out so that way they can – sign Debo, move some other money around, and then still have, you know, $10 to $15 million worth of cap space in order to maybe add somebody middle of the year. It doesn't happen a lot, but the flexibility is still there.
Yeah. I mean, I keep reminding people of this too, right? I know Debo's the immediate one, but like they're going to need a Brinks truck of cash for the Nick Bosa contract, right? So, once that chip falls, the Jimmy chip, it's, you know, I'm with you. I think whatever that is, and we'll get into that next, but like whether he's cut, whether he's traded, the minute that money's off the books, I think they've already got a contract in place with Debo. It's just a matter of when we're able to actually extend it and put pen to paper.
I mean, to me, Debo wouldn't have shown up to OTAs if they hadn't shown him, like, look, here it is. Like, here's the paper. Right. Like, here's what we're going to show you. Like, you didn't see this, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, you know, he's in the Bay Area. He's going to be there. Now, he didn't practice at OTAs. And like the first week of camp, he's not going to practice a whole bunch. Right.
He's definitely not going to play a preseason game or anything until that contract's done.
No,
you know,
well, and even if there is a contract gets done the day before camp, Niners open camp on Tuesday next week. Say a contract gets done Monday, he's still not going to
anything. Totally.
The Niners don't need him outside of maybe some continuity with Trey. Right, but they don't really need him to do anything in training camp.
No. I think it's my prediction. If I had to put money down on it, it's we see it every year. You know, like preseason ends that first week leading up to the game. You know, like contracts done on like Wednesday.
Yeah,
you know, because you always hear like opening, you know, weekend or something. It's like, oh, fresh off a zoo, $130 million. You know, I think it gets done that week.
I think personally that they want to get it done probably sooner rather than later.
Oh, I know they do.
Especially because, you know, they've got Trey in this whole thing. The least amount of drama that they can create with the media is kind of going to be what they want to do, you know.
Well, let's move right into that topic because that's next as far as the transition to Trey. I think you just said it for him, and if I were coaching, you know, and on that team, it's all about the continuity, right? Like just being in the huddle, calling the plays, you know, making mistakes, but like getting the terminology down, like just getting comfortable, you know, timing, getting, you know, just all those things that you work out the kinks in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
The least amount of distractions and problems that you run into during that time is going to be just huge for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a reason why they drafted him. I think, you know, he's young still, but he seems very mature for his age. So far, he's been saying the right things in the press conferences, right? People kind of pressed him a little bit, and he goes, look, like, I'm just here to get better. And, you know, hasn't really said anything explosive, which is fine.
Thank goodness.
That's kind of been the Shanahan Lynch administration's MO is, you know, don't really say anything controversial. Just kind of go out there and do it. And, you know, it would have said a lot during OTAs if they came out.
Oh, may have lost Jim there. All right. Well, not sure what he was going on and saying, but, yeah, I mean, I think the transition to Trey is just massive. Like, it is now 100% all about him 100% of the time. Everything from the film room to the cafeteria, to the walkthroughs. It's him, his voice, him, you know, his presence. And that was kind of Jim and I's argument last year, the entire time, which was, you know, just the back and forth. And when you have Jimmy kind of hanging over his shoulders, just makes things tough, right? Like, he is the new guy on the block. It needs to be his team, and the car keys need to be handed to him for like just a successful transition overall. So, yeah, I think, you know, this training camp is going to be awesome. To Jim's point, the least amount of distractions as possible. Obviously, smooth sailing is the way to go. Let's see. Jim, you guys back there? Oh, all right. Don't worry.
I don't know what happened, but we're good. I'm back.
We're back. I was just wrapping it up there, you know, as far as just, yeah, just the least amount of distractions. You know, we don't want Javon Kinlaw trying to choke out Grant. We don't want, you know, all those things that just create problems, right? Like, this team is really, really good. The least amount of distractions to get you to that first game. That's training camp, right? No injuries and just get to game one.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, moving on to obviously Mr. Elephant in the Room. I mean, today pretty much officially, we think, signified, you know, the end of the Jimmy Garoppolo era, right, for the 49ers. From what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's long that once he clears that physical, which we think he probably did today, they no longer are on the hook for any guaranteed money. That injury settlement and everything is gone. So he's fully able to move, like, or cut. Right. So,
yes.
What do you think happens? Do you think they find a trade partner first off, like, compensation aside? Or do you think they end up?
Yeah, I think he's too valuable of an asset for a team to not pay a fifth rounder or a fourth rounder for him. Cause, like, yeah. I mean, let's call it like it is. Like, I mean, if the Niners get someone to pay more than a fourth rounder for him at this point, then
yeah,
I mean, kudos to them. I don't think that it's going to happen. But I think he's too valuable that some team that maybe has a quarterback that isn't 100% confident of where that quarterback is going, or they're just not super confident, you know, overall, or maybe they're in a little bit of a transition mode. I think he will definitely garner a lot of interest from a team like that.
Well, dude, I mean, as much like shit we talk about him, like, he is an absolute starting quarterback in the NFL right here and now. Like, he should be starting this season. I know the timing and everything, the way it worked out, but he's absolutely one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league. Like, so now it's about finding the situation that makes the most sense, right? Yeah. Because the timing and the injury, the compensation, the contract, those are all exterior factors. But if you just take it on the field, he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, it's a little bit different than last year, the Patriots with Mac Jones. Like, I think we saw pretty clearly Cam is no longer a starting quarterback. It wasn't, right? So they just cut.
Correct.
Like, there was nothing there. So I think this is a different situation. I mean, so I guess with that, obviously we can't predict injuries, you know, if somebody goes down in camp, and that obviously creates a trade market for that team. We also don't know what's going to come down for Deshaun Watson, which we should know here in about a week or so, I'm guessing, right? Like, is the NFL going to announce this thing?
I think that the Browns already know that he's not going to get more than six games, or else they wouldn't have traded Baker.
Yeah.
I think them trading Baker signifies that, okay, maybe we have to get through 2 to 4 games with a backup and then go from there.
Because if he
gets obviously more than, if it's going to be more, then they're going to have to probably trade for Jimmy.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, if he gets more than 8 or 10, it's like a no-brainer. Like, it's just, all right. Like, that, I bet there's even a deal already worked out. You know what I mean? Like, hey, if they slap him with 10, 12 games, like, here's your fourth or here's your fifth. Like, let's just move on. Take the Browns out. Take, you know, any random injuries out in hypotheticals. Who are the top two or three landing spots that you think makes the most sense and where you would see him if you had to predict?
I think personally, I think the Saints, for me, are a team that make a lot of sense. I think Sean Payton is never going to be one of those coaches to settle for mediocrity. Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston. He's nothing special. I don't think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo whatsoever. He turns the ball over far too much. Now, so does Jimmy. But the Saints' offense isn't one that's predicated on throwing the ball downfield a ton. They're not.
Drew Brees played there for 15 years.
Exactly. Guy did not have a strong arm. So I think the Saints are one for me. Now, I know they just went out and got this guy, but, you know, Marcus Mariota's, who knows what he's going to look.
Oh, we got another freeze up here. All right. Jim's frozen. Clay. Oh, you there? Oh,
Desmond Ridder to me is a massive project, right? Kid with good intangibles. Who better for him to learn from but someone like Jimmy Garoppolo, right? In a team that – and look, he's just not going to cost a lot this year. They didn't pay Mariota a lot. I mean, they bring Jimmy in, and they could keep all three of those guys on the roster. Now, Mariota's not going to be excited about that because he went there because he wanted to try and win a job. But look, you know, hey, win the job. And then one of you guys can go there. I don't know if Jimmy would be cool with that going there. I think those are my –
well, I think the
teams that aren't necessarily talked about, but those are kind of the two that when I look at it, it makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think, I mean, at the end of the day, I have different teams than you, but for the similar reasons. I'm with you. Like, it's very possible they see Mariota and they're going, we can't go through a whole year like this, right? So the three teams that I have listed here, the first one is obviously been talked about quite often, but that's the Dolphins. I think that owner is starved to win.
Yep.
You know, Mike McDaniel, first year down there, he wants, you know, potentially with who knows what we're going to see from, you know, from Tua, but he would provide some stability for that organization for the first time in a little while. So I don't think that's likely. I still think they hired McDaniel kind of for Tua, but that's someone on my list. The next two are a little bit outside the box. Trying to go off a beaten path here. And these are the ones that are similar to what you were saying. I think the Giants are a team to keep an eye on. Brian Daboll is not tied to Danny Dimes at all. We've seen some moments out of him that are, I think you could call it exciting, but mostly disappointing from him. And I could see him, especially in New York, dude. The Giants are about to get lapped by the Jets if they get their shit together. Like, dude, they're an embarrassment of a franchise right now. And they just need some stability to win some games. Like, I could see Jimmy going to New York and just being, like, the ultimate pro and just get him through this season. You know, you have Saquon coming back. You have some receivers. Like, you could win some games with Garoppolo in New York. You know,
my only disagreement with that is, like, it's your first year with Daboll. Danny Dimes is this young, athletic. Yep. Like, what's the harm in just playing it out for a year and see what you got? And if Daboll's able to turn it around, well, now he's the QB whisperer. And now you have a guy who's under contract for another, you know, couple of years. You can exercise his option. Well, they didn't exercise his option, but I mean,
still sign him.
You could still sign him for cheap. I don't think he's going to go, you know, unless he goes out and lights it up, which,
right,
you know, good for Danny Dimes. You know, they're taking that risk. And I don't think they would have taken that risk and then go sign Jimmy. But I get it, right? I understand. I just think that with Jimmy's lack of downfield passing skills, that's something that I think Dable likes coming from Josh Allen, who had that.
Sure.
And Daniel Jones does have a big arm.
Right? Yeah, for sure. And I look at it as like probably similar to what I'm about to parlay this next kind of my off the wall one. But like, you bring Jimmy in if you think Danny Dimes is just not it. And your plan is probably to draft a guy next year, right? And Jimmy gives you like a 2-year runway to kind of mentor that kid next year. You know, who knows if that's, you know, if they're thinking that, but that was kind of my thought process with them. And then
like it's a trade. So like Jimmy and the Niners aren't the one negotiating it. Don Yee, right, is the one out there. If the Niners were the one shopping him, then I might agree with you. But since Don Yee is out there doing the shopping, he's going to tell him like, look, like Jimmy needs, you need to tell me that if you trade for him, you're going to give him the starting job. Like, he's, sure, not competing for the starting job. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's been to the NFC Championship. Like, we're not doing that, right?
Oh, I know that's what Donnie's going to try here, but there's just not many of those jobs out there. Like, hey, we'll trade for you. And day one, here's the rock, kid. Like, go get him. It's like, that ship's kind of sailed. My last one is, again, kind of off the wall, reading the tea leaves here a little bit. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record, and he now is walking into a locker room with Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, the rookie. Now, I like Kenny Pickett.
Old tiny hands.
But you cannot tell me that Mitch gives them a whole lot of, like, good feelings and vibes, you know, moving on. As much as he was a complete mummy out there the last couple of years, Roethlisberger, he was still like a pro's pro and like a leader, sort of. But, dude, they won 9 games last year with Roethlisberger. This is another team that thinks they should compete every year, the Steelers. They don't reload or rebuild.
Again, the price tag, I like it. Yeah. I think the price tag, again, the price tag's not going to be high.
No.
I mean, they're not paying a lot for their quarterback room right now.
No, I love Trubisky's got a 2-year deal and only $5 million is guaranteed out of that. So
what's the harm? And if Trubisky really beats Jimmy out in camp, then look,
credit to him.
He deserves to be the guy. Again, I think that Don Yee would want some assurances, but much like my hypothesis with the Saints, is same thing. They don't need to throw the ball down the field a ton, right?
Dude, Ben could not Deontay throw it past 10 yards.
Exactly. Like,
Jimmy's got a better arm than Roethlisberger had last year.
Yes, 100%. Like, and I am like not the biggest fan of Jimmy. I think that's widely known that I just don't think that he's very good. He gets the ball out quick, but his decision-making skills is suspect at best.
But what does Pittsburgh want to do? They are going to hand the ball to Najee 30 times a game, throw it to him 5 to 10
100%.
Times. And then it's like, Jimmy, can you get the ball to like Deontay Johnson 5 to 10 times and Claypool 5 to 10 times? Like, that's it, dude. And we can win a lot of football games. Like, yeah. I think the Steelers make a ton of sense. I don't know if they'll do it. I don't know, again, the cap situation, what they'd have to move around. But I think him there would be like a great fit for both sides.
And everybody, you know, I just don't think he's going to the Browns. And I think that as soon as they traded Baker, that signified that they're prepared. They've gotten assurances from the NFL that it's not going to be more than 4 games or whatever. And they're just going to ride that out. Right.
Totally.
So
cool. The last category we really have here to discuss for this evening is biggest camp battles that you're looking forward to. What would you list as number one for you?
I think that it's going to be interesting, with all the running backs that they have.
Yeah, I have that on here too.
You know, they've got Sermon, which, you know, like we were talking about, we both listened to Mayoko's pod today. Like, they weren't unhappy with him. I just don't think that he showed the burst that they wanted. Jeff Wilson's healthy again. We know that they like him, but he's had injury problems in the past. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of Eli Mitchell's show. Shanahan throughout the years has always shown that he does prefer to use one running back, especially because if you're bringing in a specialty guy on short yardage or third downs, it kind of tips your hand as to what plays you're going to call. Yeah. You know, and then I think the new guy that they brought in from LSU, Tyrion Davis Price, I think he's actually going to be quite highly effective.
Yeah, big time.
And in my opinion, render Trey Sermon rather useless. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Sermon got cut.
That would shock me. I mean, I'm still a believer. I still think he's got a ton of talent, but like, he's, in my opinion, like, it was very clear early, he's not a fit for this offense. And
yes,
that's okay, but like, you had to have known that when you were drafting him, right? Like, he's not a one-cut go zone guy, right? So that was a little bit surprising last year. Now, I think you can pick up any offense and learn it, but can he just do it this year? Like you said, on Mayoko's pod, I think the interesting thing he said is it just looked like he was thinking the entire time. Now, maybe he wasn't comfortable with the playbook or whatever, but the kid's got talent. You know, now it's like, okay, you have a year in this offense. Do you understand the pass protections? Do you understand the plays? And like, can you just go out there and play? We'll find out, right? So,
yeah, I just don't know. I mean, for the same reasons why they weren't thrilled with him and why he wasn't getting the touches last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that burst is coming back. I think that's just who he is, and that's fine. Maybe they package him with Jimmy somewhere.
I
don't know, but I think there's just too many running backs on the roster right now, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. I mean, if you take a look at the depth chart, it's pretty alarming.
I mean, we haven't even talked about guys like JerMichael Hasty, who had some good, you know, action last
year. He's a guy that is most likely gonna be active on game day because he can return kicks, right? Yeah. So
yeah, this position group will be really fascinating on not just the running back piece of it, you know, but which of these guys are able to contribute on special teams, you know.
I mean, you've got Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson, Tyrion Davis Price, Trey Sermon, and JerMichael Hasty. I mean,
yep.
Hasty played a lot toward the end of the year last year.
Unlike most teams, Kyle Juszczyk is very much listed as a running back on this team.
I mean, he's a fullback, but look, he is on the field a lot.
Right.
And that factors into how many running backs are on the team and then also active on game day. Right. So, I mean, they're not going to keep five running backs. So my prediction is that they either trade or cut Trey Sermon, and I think it's likely that they might package him with Jimmy because I think they do like the guy, and I think this administration does try and do right by players, having John Lynch being a former player himself, which is why they said, hey, you know what, Jimmy, Don, you know, you go find who you want to get traded to and we'll work out the deal from there.
Yep, no doubt.
I mean, that's cool. That's kind of the big battle that I see happening. Do you see anything else?
I mean, for me, it's offensive line. It's my biggest concern heading into the season. I think outside of that, there's really not much concern for me on the roster, like as it sits today, right? Like, never going to have a perfect roster. That's just the way the NFL works. But
yeah,
we lost two stable veterans, and you now have Daniel Brunskill, who is kind of like the leader of the pack, but like, is he going to play center or guard? If he moves to guard, who plays center? You know, you've got the guy I like. I mean, he was a undrafted free agent, so I don't know if you're going to trust Donovan West as far as your starting center goes as a rookie, but
I mean,
he's a good player at Arizona State. Like Jake Brendel's there, you know.
He's, I think,
like
I
you
think
talked about, is Jalen Moore play guard and Brunskill play center. Like, there's a lot of ways this can go.
I think, you know, that Brunskill's probably going to play guard. I think that to start the season, it'll be Brendel.
Yeah,
but I definitely could see somebody like Donovan West move in and kind of take that spot over.
I mean, what was he, a 3-year starter at Arizona State? Like, I was kind of shocked that he went undrafted, to be honest with you. But
I think that there was, this was one of, I mean, he's not small. He's 6'4".
No.
Again, like, he played a big Pac-10 school. He didn't come from some, like, little random D3. I think he was more of a victim of, this was one of those drafts with a lot of sixth-year seniors from the COVID year and stuff like that. There was just a ton of people in the draft. It was very, very muddled, right? And I think that a player like that, you know, 6'4", 305, who plays center, I mean...
Yeah. I think it comes down to Jalen Moore, right? I mean, he was a fourth or fifth round pick, maybe sixth last year. You know, if he can slide into that other guard slot, then that frees up Brunskill for center. But, you know, if he doesn't, or like you talked about, I mean, who knows? Like, if Aaron Banks is just out there lost, like, then we don't know what the hell's going to happen, right?
Well, so, I mean, I think that the good thing and the thing that has me feeling good is if Aaron Banks is out there lost, you've got Buford who could play there. You could put Jalen Moore over there. And then this guy, Donovan West, like, I mean, he could,
I think he's going to be forced into
action quickly. I think so too. I mean, I was surprised when I saw that they signed him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. I thought he had like a fourth or, you know, early fifth round grade on him. And he did. He just didn't get drafted.
The other thing I like, if they go that route and he, you know, impresses, is like, yes, he is a rookie, but the rest of the offensive line would be veterans, pretty much. You know,
yeah,
you would have Brunskill, Trent, McGlinchey. Like, he wouldn't be out there like just, okay, good luck, buddy. Like,
you would free you would free Brunskill up to likely make all the O-line calls.
Yeah,
And then just allow Donovan to play center, right? And just concentrate on the snap. I mean, I think that these are minor problems.
Yeah.
Especially in a zone run scheme, like the Niners my have.
I'm not as concerned about the play as I am about, like, the line calls and stuff. Like, I, you know, a little bit fearful of, like, you know, yeah, I know Trent Williams is going to block whoever's in front of him, but, like, if you screw up a protection and Trey gets absolutely smoked because of that, like, that's a preventable mistake for your young quarterback that you just don't want. So that's the only concern, mainly at the center position.
It's definitely a concern, which is why I think that they targeted somebody like Donovan West, who was a 3-year starter, right?
Yeah.
Who knows how to make those calls. You know, there's a lot of talk about them going after JC Treader and a few other guys who got cut. The guy from the Bengals, I forgot his name. He was just kind of a cap casualty.
Mm-hmm. We need the Jimmy chip to fall. And
yeah, I just don't think that for center, they're going to go out and do that now. I think if they were going to do it, they would have made the sacrifice and done it earlier. Now,
I think you're
just going to roll with the group they got, unless it's like, you know, second preseason game in and they're just like, holy shit. Like,
yeah. I'm with
you. Yeah.
Cool, man. That's pretty much all I got. I figure we'll knock out, you know, probably a weekly thing here going forward. If we can, training camp 100%. Opens, like you said, Tuesday. We should have some good headlines. Could have some trades, could have some contract signings by then, the next time we pop on. And then in 2 weeks. I mentioned to you, I was able to snag some of those training camp tickets on Friday the 5th. So
we're going to get boots on the ground.
I'm going to be there. Maybe I'll live stream it while I'm bringing my daughter and just give her some cotton candy and be like, hey, quiet. But yeah, so I'm pumped up, man. But that's pretty much all I got. So,
all right, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.